Help all kids learn and grow with PBS Kids. Thank you for supporting your PBS station.
Twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book. A reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow. A reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in.
Water. Every living thing needs it to survive. Plants and animals depend on it. And so do you and I. We drink it, bathe in it, and we play in it. So it's important that we learn how to take care of it. That's why we're on a discovery voyage on the San Francisco Bay on this floating laboratory, where marine biologists check up on the quality of the water and what lives in it. Here you go, Mary.
Oh, thanks, Lamar.
You bet. You know, no one knows better than the creatures of the sea just how important it is to keep our water clean and healthy. And here's a story about one who helped a fisherman find that out. It's called Jack, the Seal, and the Sea.
Jack, the Seal, and the Sea by Gerald Aschenbrenner. English adaptation by Joanne Fink. Read by Leslie Uggams. As a small boy, Jack was always out on the sea with his father, a fisherman. And when Jack was old enough, he bought his own fishing boat. He always worked hard, fishing the same waters his father had. Slowly, though, things changed. The sea did not sparkle as it once had. The fish were small and sickly. One day, Jack hauled his net on board, expecting the usual catch of half-dead fish. Instead, he stared in amazement into the eyes of a little seal who lay among the silvery mackerel in his net. It was clear to Jack there wasn't much life left in this seal. An oily film covered his fur, and bits of debris were stuck to him. Jack gave the seal a much-needed bath and some mackerel. Soon, Jack could see a bit of sparkle in the seal's big, dark eyes. I bet you'd like to go back to your friends, Jack said. All afternoon, Jack searched for seals, but there were no seals to be found. Jack saw garbage scattered on the beaches and garbage floating by his boat. No wonder the seals are gone, he thought sadly. Why would they want to live in this mess? The little seal began to get restless, so Jack brought him more fish. He gobbled them right up and looked around the deck for more. More, chuckled Jack. Well, if you've got that big an appetite, maybe you should do some fishing for yourself. Jack lifted the seal over the side of the boat. Jack followed the little seal to make sure he'd be okay. When the boat finally caught up with him, the seal had a big silvery mackerel in his mouth. It was the healthiest looking mackerel Jack had seen in a long time. The seal gobbled the fish up quickly and caught another, and then another. This might be a good spot to try some fishing. Jack didn't want the seal to get tangled in his net again, so he brought him on board. The fisherman pulled his nets through the water, and when he brought them up, they were filled with big, healthy fish. "What luck you've brought me today, little seal," he exclaimed. It was late in the day by the time Jack finished fishing. The sea was so calm, he decided to stay out on the water for the night. He settled down on the deck with the seal by his side and fell asleep. Suddenly, the wind picked up, the sky darkened, and the waves grew to a frightening size. Jack's little boat was tossed in a terrible storm. A huge wave broke in front of him, and he heard a deep, booming voice rise from the depths. "Help me, Jack. Help me as you did my little friend, the seal. I rewarded you for that. Now it is time for you to come to my rescue. Look what has happened to me. Everything that's been dumped in me has made the fish sick. The plants can't live in me, and people are afraid to swim in me. Stop polluting the sea." The storm stopped as suddenly as it began. When Jack awoke, the seal was nowhere to be found. On his way into port, Jack saw bottles and bits of trash floating by his boat. It kept bringing his dream back to mind. "I didn't think it would happen here, to our part of the sea, but it has happened here." And then it came to him. There was something he had to do. Now, Jack sails up and down the coast. He stops in all the towns and villages to tell his story. Sometimes, he thinks about being a fisherman again, but not until everyone hears his message and cares about what happens to the sea.
Okay, LeVar, are we ready to put the net in the water?
I'm ready. One, two, and heave!
Oh, good. Okay, let's drop the float line.
Dropping the float line.
Open the doors. And let's let the line go out. How's it going?
Going good. How's over there on your
Mary
side?
Mary Nishimito is one of the ecologists aboard who studies fish and marine life and the health of their environment.
So, Mary, what are we going to be doing here today?
Well, we both know that animals can't talk to us, but they can still tell us about the bay. So we're going to be looking at the animals, we'll be looking at where they live, and we'll also be looking at what they eat.
What are some of the things the creatures in this bay eat?
They eat a variety of things. In fact, while we're waiting to catch some fish, we can go to the bow of the boat and take a look at the small things.
Smallest thing? What's that?
That's plankton.
Plankton? Yeah, let's go. Well, let's see if we've got any plankton in here, huh?
Well, let's see what we have.
Well, how'd we do?
Let's take a look.
Whoa!
Look very carefully. Oh, look, look. You can see the little tiny animals swimming around.
Yeah.
You can actually see them swimming.
That's plankton,
These
huh?
are the animal plankton.
Mm-hmm.
The plant plankton are too small for us to see.
Uh-huh.
But we can see that there's a lot of animal plankton in there.
Now, what can we tell from this?
Well, this tells us that because we have a lot of animal plankton, what do they eat?
Animal plankton eats plant plankton.
That's right. They eat the plant plankton. That's right.
Right.
And so this tells us that there must be enough food out there for them to eat.
Aha. So there's a nice balance in here then,
yes,
huh? Of plant and animal plankton. And that means that it's a healthy environment in the ocean.
That's a good indication of that.
Terrific.
Oh, I think it's time for us to pull the net.
All hands. That's us.
All right. Here. Can you bring it in?
Oh, here we go.
looks like there's something big in there, too.
What now?
All right.
In the water?
Right in the water.
Wow.
You ready?
Yeah.
So we got... Whoa!
Whoa! What's that?
This is a leopard shark!
A leopard shark!
Got a lot of strength still, too. Feel all the muscles in his body?
He feels like he's all muscle.
And why don't you go ahead and see what it feels like? Rub your hands along its body. Touch its body.
I've never felt anything like this before.
And rub your fingers this way along
really?
The body.
Oh, wow,
can you
that's
feel that?
Really rough.
It's really rough.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And on the bottom, oh, look where its mouth is.
Wow.
Where do you think he feeds?
The bottom of the ocean?
Yeah, he feeds
really?
On the bottom, right. And in fact, this shark at this size feeds mostly on crabs
uh-huh.
and shrimp.
Can we put him
uh-huh.
in the water now?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Wow. So a lot of these, wow, what's that?
This is a skate.
He's huge.
Look at that. Take a look at a good close look at it. You'll notice these big fins. These are the pectoral fins
uh-huh.
on this fish.
Uh-huh.
And what do you think it uses these pectoral fins
these
for?
These make him swim if he flies through the water,
right.
I bet.
That's it. He uses them just like wings. He flies through the water.
This
with
must
these
be a fast
fins.
Fish, isn't it?
Well, he can be fast. Uh-huh. He can speed up quickly.
Now, what's that over there by your hand?
That's a good observation you just made. These are parasites.
Really?
These are called copepods.
So these are animals that are growing on the skate. Right.
Parasites become a problem if the animal becomes weakened, and then the parasites can more easily take advantage of the animal.
Right.
And we'll find more of them on the bodies.
So a fish or an animal in the ocean would be weakened due to?
It could be weakened due to disease.
Uh-huh.
And pollution.
Pollution.
Also.
Yeah.
Known to be a culprit? Yeah.
Right.
So, let's put him back in the water
so
he can continue to breathe.
Yeah, you bet. Mary, are there any fish in here that eat plankton?
Yes, uh-huh. In fact, this is our plankton feeder. This is the top smelt.
Top smelt,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
And he is a surface swimming fish.
Mm-hmm.
He has a silvery white belly
mm-hmm.
so that when predators from below look above, they don't see him.
Aha, uh-huh, more camouflage,
uh-huh, uh-huh.
huh? Now, what kind of a fish would eat this?
That's uh-huh. a good thing there.
How about this guy here?
Yeah,
whoa!
Yeah. See, these plankton feeders are very important because from the plankton,
mm-hmm.
the plankton feeders eat the
right,
plankton, and
right.
then these larger fish will eat our plankton feeders.
Right.
And so we've got a food chain going here.
Right.
And then we eat the larger fish. We're at the top of the food chain.
And what happens, Mary, if pollution enters that food chain?
If pollution enters the food chain, we could lose our fellow travelers on this planet.
Our friends under the sea.
Yes.
Yeah. And ultimately harm ourselves in the process.
Yes, sadly.
Yeah. Pollution affects everything. And the more there is of it, the greater the damage. Not long ago in Alaska, an oil tanker accidentally spilled tons of oil, threatening the water and everything around it.
A thick slick on the water that stuck to everything. It clung to rocks and coated beaches and spread like poison for hundreds of miles. A major emergency effort was launched to save the coastline. One of the most important things that had to be done was to stop the leak in the tanker. A floating corral, or containment boom, was placed around the ship to keep more oil from spreading. Another ship docked next to the tanker to remove the remaining oil. Then the tanker was hauled off to a safe place for repairs. More booms were used to keep the oil out of special inlets where baby fish were growing in hatcheries. The lives of these fish were saved. However, many animals died. Others were rushed to recovery centers where people worked hard to clean off the oil. Birds were carefully washed, bathed,
so go ahead and hold his body,
scrubbed, and hosed down.
Wonderful. Then if they float, then they're ready to go. Wonder if they're waterproof.
This otter's fur was all sticky with oil, so he was shampooed and dried off. Many endangered species, like this bald eagle, were also affected.
I'm not really sure.
Special care was given to clean them up, feed them, and then release them back into the wild. But the oil still lay in a slick on the water and on the beaches. It had to be washed off the rocks by high-pressure hoses. An all-out battle took place against the oil, with ships bringing in equipment and thousands of people working day and night to fight the polluting effects of the oil. Different kinds of techniques were used to loosen the oil from rocks. Some oil was steamed off using hot water, and some was sprayed off with coal. Rocks had to be washed over and over again. Once the oil was loosened from the rocks, it was sprayed down to the water and collected in a holding area. Then it was skimmed off the top, picked up by conveyor belts, and carted away. Inch by inch, workers moved down the coastline, cleaning new areas of beach. Many of the animals were released back into the water, where they were happy to be home. This oil spill is still not over. It will take years for these waters to regain their health and beauty. And only if we care will we prevent this kind of accident from happening again.
All right.
Wow.
Good.
All right.
We've got something. Let's bring that in. Hold it right there. Could you lower it just a bit, LeVar? A little bit more. Right there, that's good.
Wow.
Let me...
Look at that mud!
Take a look at it. Touch it.
Whoa.
Smell it.
I love mud.
It doesn't smell bad at all.
No,
in fact, it smells good.
That's a good smell.
Yeah, that's a good
it's
sign.
Like fresh.
Uh-huh.
If mud can smell clean, this smells like clean mud.
Yeah, if the mud smells like rotten eggs, it's a real bad sign.
That there's pollution around here?
That means that there's no oxygen in the mud.
Ah.
And that it could very well be caused by pollution.
Right.
Yeah.
What else is in here?
Okay, let's see what else is in here. In fact, we've got these screens here.
Uh-huh.
And so I'll put some mud into the screens, and why don't you take a hose and start to spray it down, and we'll find out lives in the mud.
Okay.
Mud turns out to be one of the most important habitats here in the bay.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So there are actually animals that live here, huh? Wow, there seems to be all kinds of stuff in here. What are these tube-like things here, Mary?
Oh, these are mud tubes.
Mud tubes.
Uh-huh. And if you look at their hollow,
uh-huh,
you can see the opening.
Yeah.
And maybe we can find the creature that makes these tubes.
There's an animal that lives in this?
Uh-huh. This is the home for an animal that I think we're going to be able to find in here.
So he makes his own house, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And there's an animal in here someplace, huh? Ooh, what's that? What's up there?
Oh, wow. Wow. We ran into something else here. This is a spider crab.
Wow, look at it.
Yeah, look at these long, thin legs, like a spider.
So there are all sorts of animals that live in this mud, aren't there?
There sure are. Oh, here's another one.
There he is.
Wow, we've got quite a few in here. Let's see if we can find what made that tube.
Whoa, look at this. What's this here?
I think we found the creature that made that tube.
It's a worm.
The worms make these tubes.
Wow.
Using, the mud that they live in and the mucus. Here's one that's in the tube.
Wow, look at that.
Look at that. Oh, here he comes.
Wow.
Look at that. The tube worm is much like the earthworms on land. They are the decomposers. And what they do is that they eat the plant and animals that have died.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So they're very important here in the bay.
Uh-huh.
We also have the clams.
Mm-hmm.
And clams are important here in the bay because they filter the water and they eat the plankton in the water.
Uh-huh. So they act as a filtering system.
Right, right.
So this mud then is another fragile ecosystem. That balance has to be maintained in order for the general health of the bay to be in balance.
Yes, uh-huh. And the mud that we have here is very important here in this ecosystem.
Right.
It's an important habitat.
You bet. Well, people are more aware of the dangers of pollution these days, and so things are getting better. And how about you? What are some of the ways that you can take care of your environment?
Pick up trash. Recycle.
Don't throw your garbage in the water.
These are soda rings, and we should rip them so that animals' throats, like seals and birds and fish and stuff, don't get cutting them.
Don't waste paper.
Take a shower with your dog, because in that way both of you would be clean.
Put posters up how not to pollute.
Don't litter.
Recycle your newspapers.
You could take a soup can that you've already used and make it into a pencil or a crayon can.
Well, there are lots of things that you can do, and lots of ways that you can help. But if it's water you're into, then here are some books that are guaranteed to make a splash. But you don't have to take my word for it.
Hi, I'm Daniel. I bet you never thought too seriously about water. But I'd like to change that with this book I've just read. It's called Water. Did you know the water we drink today is the same water that dinosaurs used to drink? The Earth has only so much water, so nature recycles it. Water evaporates from the Earth, turns into clouds, and comes back down to the ground in the form of rain, snow, and hail. 97% of the Earth is covered with water, but less than 1% of that water is drinkable. Everybody needs water, and everybody should read water. Drink up.
Hi, are you looking for an exciting and challenging career? Well, if you are, have you ever considered studying underwater creatures? Like Lynn Walter does in this book called A Day in the Life of a Marine Biologist. Lynn is a marine biologist, and she has a fascinating job. The book takes you through a whole day with her at work. She starts out her day feeding the animals at the Oceanographic Institute. Later, she goes scuba diving for samples of marine life. She even runs into some pretty dangerous creatures. So if any of you scientists out there are planning to be marine biologists, here's a great book to start with. This is Kate Levine, your career counselor, signing off.
Good afternoon. My name is Matthew O'Connor, and I'm reporting live from Reading Rainbow. Today's top story is Sterling, the rescue of a baby harbor seal. Sterling is a newborn pup that is abandoned by its mother. The New England Aquarium sends out a rescue team, and Sterling is brought to the Marine Mammal Center. First, they check her temperature. Next, they weigh her. Then, they pour special formula into Sterling's mouth. Eventually, Sterling is released back into the ocean. Well, it looks like today's story is a winner, and so is this book. Signing off, Matthew O'Connor.
Okay, little buddy. Back into the water.
One thing I found out today is the more you know about your environment, the more you care. It's up to us to keep our waters clean and healthy. This planet is our home, and it's the only one we've got. I'll see you next time. Today's Reading Rainbow books are Jack the Seal in the Sea by Gerald Aschenbrenner, English adaptation by Joanne Fink, published by Silver Burdett Press, a division of Simon & Schuster. Water, What It Is, What It Does by Judith S. Satius, illustrated by Tom Huffman, published by Green Willow Books. A Day in the Life of a Marine Biologist by David Page, photos by Roger Rulin, published by Troll Associates. Sterling, The Rescue of a Baby Harbor Seal by Sandra Verrill White and Michael Filiski, published by Crown Publishers Incorporated.